Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Literally waging war on corruption, crashing to the lies and disinformation. Monday through Friday, live from 11 to 2 Central Standard Time. By the way, I'm tired of forgetting. I know my staff is listening. Guys, get me the list of the 5 affiliates we got last week, because I keep saying I'm going to plug them, and I never get a proper list. I hear the names. I thank the program directors, and then I just forget about it. I want to get that and thank them before this hour ends. I want to thank them on the Sunday show that's gotten a lot of new affiliates as well. We're just so blessed, so thankful to God. Big guest coming up, eyewitness to government operatives in the 7/7 bombings of 2005. Right now, Mark in Canada, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
How you doing, Alex?
Good, sir.
Good, big fanboy here. Like Bobby, the caller before, I'm burning Terra Storm copies right now. I've been handing them out in Ottawa. I go for walks at night. I give out Terra Storm and 9/11 Revisited.
Well done.
Those are the two I've chosen, and I just take about 8 or 9 out at night, walk around. I always come home without them, so I don't know if the people watch them. But
that's the best, is to fire and forget. Carpet bombing, InfoWar is the best procedure.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing, so I'm doing my part. I also went to a rally yesterday, my first protest, so that was kind of cool. I have questions. I've been trying to call in for a while, so these are kind of dated. The bear tainted HIV inoculations?
Yes, by design. Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody who has been looking into the WHO and the Red Cross, International Red Cross's...
Red Cross was caught. It was all over Australian papers, knowing that it had AIDS in it, knowingly delivering it. It's publicly admitted.
Okay. Is there anybody who's tracking, though, the growth of the epidemic?
The Hemophilia Society has tried to. They've been robbed once, and there's been firebombings as well of the doctor who worked in the prisons in Little Rock. And so there's been some strange deaths as well. So, yeah, people have been trying. But, again, the murders and the firebombings didn't stop it from coming out.
Okay, excellent. Would you ever have David Suzuki on your show to discuss global warming?
I don't know. To show my age. Who is David Suzuki?
David Suzuki is a big Canadian environmentalist. He's been around for years.
Now I've heard the name. I had to place it. Did you hear my analysis of it?
Oh, I've listened to your show since Charlie Sheen came out, pretty much daily.
So what did you think?
I think you're bang on. I'm just curious if he would agree with you about the solution that they're proposing, or if he would be saying it's not 3%, it's 10%, that kind of stuff.
Well, listen, that's not me just saying 3%. I mean, there's a bunch of different studies, and even the UN study, says, well, humans are 6% of it, but it still is the tipping point. The sun's heating up. And the point is, regardless, their solution of a global tax has nothing to do with it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. My next question has to do with Ron Paul. Mike Rivera's been talking about the Jefferson Manual and that it takes one governor to start the impeachment procedures.
And that is starting up in New Mexico and several other states.
Okay, so Ron Paul isn't in a position to start that as well?
They already used it against him in his last campaign, ineffectively, when he came on my show and said Bush should be impeached. That was already used against Paul, so I don't know if he will call for something like that, because then it would be misinterpreted by conservatives. But certainly, he says anyone who voted for the war should be removed and impeached.
Okay. Next question, the nuclear nonproliferation treaty and the other thing that stipulates that the U.S. can't supply aid to a country that is a nuclear power unless it allows inspectors. That's another thing Mike Rivera was talking about. Is that going to matter? Is there any way that they can even enforce that? Or is it
no, no, and you can't enforce it, and the UN doesn't enforce it, and Israel doesn't follow it, and China doesn't follow it. The point is, South Africa's got nukes, brother. Listen, I appreciate your call. Pakistan, India, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Big guest.
I'm going to leave you alone.
It's
year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands. My new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now 8 minutes, 42 seconds into this second hour. And for the balance of the hour, I'm extremely honored to be joined by Steve Watson of InfoWars.net and PrisonPlanet.com from London, England, and Daniel Obuchacki, also joining us from England. Now, let me just set the table here. On the morning of 7/7/2005, three bombs blew up, destroying three different train passenger carriages, killing quite a few people, tragically. Over an hour later, a bus that had been specifically singled out and redirected, and these reports had already come out by other witnesses, exploded, causing quite a few deaths and injuries. And then it came out that the former head of Scotland Yard's public relations, Peter Powers, had been hired to run a drill. They're the exact same trains, exact same times, being bombed the exact same day. And we've had the actuary mathematics done on that. It's in the tractagillions. That's 43 zeros, my friends, behind it.
That's many, many more times, billions of times more than all the grains of sand in all the world. On 9/11, they're doing a drill of flying hijacked jets in the World Trade Center and Pentagon at the exact same time yet again as well. It's always the same M.O. They do this in case other compartments of the government discover it. The other operatives can just say, hey, we're taking part in a drill. It also bootlegs the funding. It also creates chatter that confuses Echelon, Infopol 9, the NSA, MI6, the different listening stations. So if they pick up on it, they can say, oh, that's just the drill, too. And there are hundreds of points concerning the London bombing. First, they said that it was simultaneous, and they said, no, it wasn't simultaneous. It turned out they were correct. It was simultaneous bombings on all three of the trains. Something went wrong. We had surmised from all the evidence something hadn't detonated on the bus. People reported there was not an Asian man down there. People had reported that suddenly there was just an explosion. Folks had reported that the bus had been singled out and diverted. I talked to bus drivers who'd heard about it. I talked to technicians who worked in that bus terminal about strange things and strange technicians working on that bus. And so we, from the evidence we had, something hadn't gone off simultaneously in the bus, so they redirected it. While they were redirecting it to make sure it went off, from all the evidence we have, MI6, MI5, or some private agency that was carrying this out, clearly in collusion with the government, needed time to cover up what was happening with the bus because something had gone wrong. So for an hour and several minutes, they were announcing a power surge had caused some type of explosions. Now, you got three blown-up trains, dead people everywhere. They're coming out, bleeding, dying. They're telling everyone bombs went off. And the police are saying, no, 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 it's a power surge. While, meanwhile, black sedans, blue sedans, motorcycles are directing this particular bus, the Hackney bus, to Tavistock Park, Tavistock Square. On board that bus is Daniel Obachiki. And Daniel is there, and he's now going to tell you what he witnessed. And this is a eyewitness. Now, other eyewitnesses interviewed by police, and again, most police aren't involved in this. That's why we have Scotland Yard going, we don't think these guys knew they had bombs. We don't think that they were suicide bombers. We think someone gave them these packages. But then you got the problem of one of the bombers' passports, ID cards being found at two different bombings. So somebody messed up in the planting. You've got Benjamin Netanyahu being admitted, Associated Press, at least 30 minutes before getting a call and being told, don't get on the trains, stay in your hotel room. This is all on record. You've got Giuliani there when this happens. All very suspicious, folks. Same people, same players. This is so disgusting. And so we have Daniel there on the bus, and he's going to tell you what he witnessed. This is huge. I cannot hype this enough. I know Steve's working on a part two with this, so I want to bring up Daniel. Daniel, thank you for coming on.
That's okay. How are you doing?
Good, sir. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then give us a nutshell, give us a thumbnail sketch of what happened on that bus that morning, what you witnessed, and then any more details you haven't already given us for the Infowars.net story. And then I first want to say thank you for your courage, sir. Tell us first about yourself and how you got the courage to go public.
Okay, I'm just a regular guy. I've born, bred, work in London, and that day I was on my way to work in Old Street, and there was some kind of disruption going on. We were told it was a power surge, and we were evacuated, and that's how I became to be on the bus. And then after that, the bus left Euston full of passengers who were also evacuated, and the bus seemed to be going nowhere. So I looked out of because I was standing on the lower deck because I wasn't sure whether I was on the correct bus. And then I peered ahead and I saw these two cars, which were a Mercedes and a BMW, blue and black, which seemed to be in front of the bus holding it up. And it was diverted about 4 or 5 minutes later down towards Tavistock Square. And I think the results are quite evident for everyone else to see what took place in Tavistock Square.
Please continue with once you got to the square, what you saw.
Oh, well, after the explosion, you can understand, I was on the floor, so it took about 5 seconds till the noise had actually quietened down, and then I just got up, and then I ran and escaped and ran straight down the street. After a few paces down the street, I saw a man holding a camera. It looked like a camcorder, who was walking towards me, filming the bus itself. I was confused by this, and I stopped and skidded to a halt and looked left, right, and what was going on. Then I looked behind me, and I saw the bus, the upper deck of which had been completely destroyed by the bomb explosion. And then I think at that point, my mind must have just changed into some kind of, I was really not frightened, but I was aware that something amiss was going on, and I was just looking at the people moving into the actual space on the square. There were guys who were hanging around. There was a row of policemen who were just standing there in yellow fluorescent suits, jackets. They weren't doing anything. They were just watching. There was this guy filming, and I'm saying, what is going on here? It was just not, it didn't feel right. So I actually went and helped some woman who had been walking beside the bus. She was covered in blood, and then I helped her to get some kind of help at a hotel which was further down the square. And I passed this gentleman who seemed to have acquired some kind of injuries, but I couldn't understand for the life of me how this was possible, because he was 40, 50 meters away from the bus itself. So he was making a lot of noise and trying to get people's attention, but I just saw his actual injuries as fake. So,
in fact, you write in your description that within 60 seconds, he had a bandage on his head, and there weren't even paramedics around him.
Exactly. They hadn't even shown up yet.
Can you say that in your own words, though? I mean, describe it in detail for us.
Well, he had a bandage around his head, and he had his trouser leg had been split neatly along the seam, and he was rolling on the pavement. This was 50 meters away from the bus itself. The bus bomb itself blew backwards, so one lady who was at the back where I was standing in the center of the bus or by the window, she actually died, and someone walking behind the bus also died. So the bus blew backwards, the bomb blew backwards. So this guy, it was just a complete fake injury, and he was just some guy who was, I don't know what his role was specifically. There were a lot of people observing, I noted. Some people were running forward, the medical staff and the medical professionals were, you could tell who they were because they were trying to see what they could do for people. Some people were just, they weren't going to make it. Some people, they were trying to do something for them. But then there were these other people who were just watching, taking notes, organizing people, moving, saying,
how many seconds, I mean, how long did it take you to get out of the bus, and then how long did it take you, because you say 60 seconds, to then notice that this guy's way up the street with a bandage on his head rolling around?
I left the bus within 12 seconds. I got down that street in another 10 seconds. So within 25 seconds, I had witnessed the cameraman, and about 15 seconds after that, I actually noted this chap. So it was within 45 seconds, he was actually with some kind of headband and lying on the street. And I don't know how he got there, because if it was a bus blast, he must have been flung about 40 to 50 feet. And that is not really feasible with the injuries which he was displaying.
And it was the wrong direction from the way the blast
went. Precisely.
How many operative types or police did you see when you got off the bus around you already staring at it?
Okay, there were about four guys in blue bottoms and who had rucksacks. They were kind of foot soldier types. There were about two or three people who were just standing in the doorway, just watching everything. And there was another guy who was coordinating everything, in plain clothes and coordinating police when they finally came forward to actually do something.
Just all there waiting. Oh, here comes the bus. Boom. Ha. Unbelievable, sir. Please stay with us. We've got Steve Watson waiting in the wings with other key comments and questions. Your courage is amazing.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Patrick Henry said, "Give me liberty or give me death." Did you know that he also forced the adoption of the Bill of Rights as a part of the Constitution of 1787 to guarantee your unalienable or unchangeable rights of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom to own a gun to protect our nation from tyranny? There is now an assault upon the unalienable, unchangeable rights to deprive you of them. We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. The call is free. Our operators are standing by to take your order for a year subscription to Newswatch Magazine.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean, real hard to find all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Daniel Obachek, he is our guest, born and bred Londoner. Talking during the break, it was just unbelievably powerful. I remember making Terror Storm and saying to Rob, my editor here in the office, I go, that photo looks fake. Bandages all over his face, thinly placed, no blood except on his chest, and it looked like it was put on out of a ketchup dispenser, little squirters that you use, just kind of dribbled down the front. And so many times my instincts are right. Well, it turns out that's the individual that within 60 seconds was flopping around and prancing around in front of cameras and all the waiting police. And notice, though, they didn't, all over every major newspaper in the world, all over every major television network in the world, every news program in the world, no one interviewed him, no one said, where is he now, no one said his name, everybody else they show bloody or bleeding, a day later they'd say, here's their name, not him, and now the photo's being jerked everywhere. Please relay and repeat the words you told me during the break, Daniel. Please, in your own words, lay this out.
Yeah, this guy, he was the one that got my kind of curiosity going, because I walked past there with this, escorting this woman who was hurt, and then I saw him, he had this bandage around his head, his leg seemed to, his trouser leg was torn, and this was within 45, less than 60 seconds after the explosion, a time before any medical staff had come forward. And the thing about him was, he just seemed so fake. So I thought, this man must have had prior knowledge, prior intelligence, and he was positioned here. For what reason, I don't know. Then I conducted a search of my own online, because a few days after the 7th of July, his picture, his image was everywhere. And about a month ago, I looked, and it had been totally pulled. I mean, it wasn't on any of the BBC websites. It wasn't on any of the international news sites. You just couldn't find this guy. I actually spent about 2 days searching, and then I got two images of him, and that's what you see on World Wide Web, theforcebomb.com, which is my site, where the truth and the facts of what happened in Tavistock Square that day are.
Now, again, your story meshes with all the other witnesses, all the other evidence we have, but I want to be clear before we bring Steve Watson up in the next segment, who broke this with you, and I really am thankful for his great journalistic skills and your courage. Going back, the specifics, slow down, take your time. When you see the blue and black Mercedes and the motorcycle cop and the discussion with the bus driver and it's redirected, let's go back to when they first directed you in the bus to Tavistock Square.
Okay, yeah. Well, what do you want to know? The bus was...
Just slow down and describe everything to me. Just slow down and tell me how they pulled up, what they did, what they, you know, what their body motions were like, just everything, what they looked like.
Okay, it left Houston bus station and proceeded down Houston Road. It was supposed to go straight from Houston to King's Cross, but these two cars were blocking its path. And then after a short time, a police motorcyclist whizzed up on his bike and had a word with one of the drivers. And
white men, black men, Asian men, what do they look like?
No, the police, the drivers were of European appearance. The motorcyclist had a helmet, so he had a brief word with one of the drivers, and I thought, okay, thank God for that. This guy will tell the driver to go, and then we can get to where we need to be going. And but instead of the police motorcyclist getting the cars to leave, they told him to leave, and then he just turned around and sped off. And then,
did you see them flash anything?
They didn't flash anything. He waved something. It could have been some kind of card or pass or something, but as soon as the police...
Who waved? The driver of the blue Mercedes or the black?
The driver of the BMW.
And what color? The BMW was blue, correct?
Blue, yes. The driver of the BMW waved the motorcyclist away with some form of identification.
Ah.
I only assume he had some form of identification.
But you saw him, something in the hand, waved it.
Yeah, that was it.
Absolutely key. Stay there. Your debriefing will continue on the other side. Steve Watson will join in. This is absolutely vital, and we're trying to keep this man safe right now by him getting his entire story out in more detail. I'm Alex Jones, battling the New World Order at point blank range.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages, and WristEase provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, WristEase.com. Once again, WristEase.com.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I've educated myself on the importance of preventative care. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops is the original formula that was copied by others but never duplicated. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by a master herbalist, Jim Strauss, after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery. Then Jim said no. He developed Strauss Heart Drops, the formula that has been copied by others but never been surpassed. Get the original Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.99. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. You've probably heard about the other products that have tried to copy the Strauss formula. Well, get the original Strauss Heart Drops by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you can really do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
I know it was 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. I know that it's not big and spectacular like 9/11, but a lot of people died, and it was used when the British nation was refusing to go along with the war in Iraq, when Tony Blair had barely hung on to his position, when he had lost almost the entire majority that the Labour Party had in Parliament. And it came right when they were having their big G8 summit in Glen Eagles, and it was used as a grandstanding platform to say, see, the terrorists are hitting us, we've got to get tough. And every indices, every piece of evidence, even Scotland Yard and other police forces who had real detectives out were going, these guys weren't suicide bombers. That's buried in the newspaper. These guys, we think somebody planted this stuff on them, or they didn't know. They don't fit the M.O. There was a bomb under one of the trains, not in it. Eyewitnesses said that. You add all these, there's hundreds of points. We put them in the film Terror Storm that I hope you'll get from Infowars.com. That's why it's so important we spend about 30 minutes of the two-hour film, or a little bit more than 30 minutes, in London documenting this. And we even show shots of newsstands. We were there 2 weeks after the attacks. And we show newsstands where there's literally like 15, 20 newspapers and magazines, and it's all pictures of the bombing, and half of them are this guy with the fin, one layer of bandage. Understand, folks, I've worked, you know, for a large animal vet. My dad's an oral surgeon. I've been in hospitals. I've worked around it. You know, I've worked in the medical field when I was in college as a dental assistant. But even if you haven't, you know common sense. You don't take thin gauze bandage. Thin, one layer. And if you even put that on a scuff on your knee that really doesn't bleed but kind of just seeps, you know, when you're playing touch football and you fall down on your knee and it just kind of seeps. I mean, even if it was just seeping, just a microscopic graze, it would stick to his face. No, it appears to be a cap woven heavily on the top and then just thin one straps around his face. Like it was some type of already woven helmet he just put on his head. 45 to 60 seconds after the blast, he's flopping around way towards the front, 50 yards north of it. There's other people videotaping, spook types walking around, and then no interviews with him. We never learned his name. He's just, you remember the guy with the bandage. And those eyes have it all, ferret-like, scanning, calculating. And I just remember going, man, that is, something's going on. That doesn't look right. And then he has like a potato, a ketchup bottle, you know, that you spray onto your potatoes, you spray onto your french fries, like a dribble on his shirt. And you take movies like The Quiet American by Graham Greene, which is based on real events. They just changed the names. That's when the Times of London reporter, who's based there in southern Vietnam, he's been recruited by the CIA guy. He doesn't know he's CIA. And the CIA guy is actually running terror attacks to blame it on the North to escalate the war. This is before the war really kicks off in the late 1950s, and it's based on true stories that really happened. And then all of a sudden, he didn't know the guy's CIA, and suddenly these bombings blow up in the square and kill all these women and children. And then he's running around, the CIA guy, giving orders in Vietnamese. And the Times of London writer just goes and just leans back and realizes, well, literally, the man you're listening to right now saw something just like you see in that movie. Just like what you see in that fictionalized account of real events in Vietnam. Okay? That's why this is so important. Daniel, I want to go to Steve Watson and bring him up for any questions. He says he's been holding for 20 minutes. But I'd like you to then talk about what happened in a nutshell after all of this. What started happening from that point on, please, sir?
I will do. Okay, yeah. Well, it took the police investigating anti-terrorist branch of Scotland Yard 7 months to question me. I actually called them, contacted the emergency information hotline the following day, but they didn't get back to me until the end of January in 2006. And I just felt it was as though they were trying to whitewash me to make out that I was not even there to actually completely this make it look as though I was not even on board the bus.
But it is on record that you were there, and there's an upcoming book concerning it.
Yeah, there is. That's what the fourth bomb, the book, is about. And what I went through, I had some surveillance, I don't know whether they were MI5, anti-terrorist branch, or what government organization, but I had a lot of probing. I even gave an interview with a journalist called Duffy. He was working for the Sunday Mirror, and he showed me a picture. This was a week after the actual 7/7. He showed me a picture of Hasib Hussein, and then he asked me, have you seen this person? And I said no. And about a day or two after that, then it was Hasib Hussein was named as the bus bomber in the British press.
And let's be clear, none of the people on the bus said they saw any Asian men.
No, they didn't. And I was downstairs, I saw no Asian guy at all. So,
well, in your own words, describe it. Did you see any, and the other witnesses said they didn't, but did you see any Asian men?
None whatsoever. None on board the bus, none carrying a rucksack at Euston or on the bus or at Tavistock Square.
Off the charts. Just absolutely off the charts.
Yeah.
Now you describe this harassment as overt surveillance, I guess, to intimidate you. Walk us through that, some of the stuff they did.
It started by following me when I came out of my office. On lunch breaks, they were waiting on the corner. There's a place called the Honorable Artillery Barracks, and that's 10 minutes from where I worked, and that's where they kept all the dead bodies from the 7/7 attacks. So the police outside there, every time I used to walk past, they used to have something to say, call my name or something like that. I think it was just a campaign trying to put psychological stress and pressure upon me, because obviously if it came down to me testifying, they want me to be deemed unfit to testify or something like that. But I think they just didn't want a public inquiry anyway, so they got their own way and there was no public inquiry.
Any other types of harassment? And then let's talk about how you finally got your meeting with the police and what they did.
I was chased once in Aldgate. A guy just came after me. I had arranged to meet someone from the office, and then I got there. This guy came after me, so I actually ran into this building, and then he ran in there and followed me, and I actually hid in some offices. And
what did he look like? I mean, I'm not saying I'm a tough guy, but if somebody wants to run up on me, I'm going to deck him. Yeah. I guess it's smarter to run.
Yeah.
I mean, explain to me what happened. I mean, describe it in detail. What did he look like? I mean, did he, like, growl and start running at you? I mean, what happened?
He was actually there waiting for me. That's the thing which threw me initially. He was there waiting for me. And as soon as I went past him, he just set off across the road and came after me. So I didn't run because I was scared of him, because I'm not scared of any of these people.
Obviously, you're on air.
I know I'm not scared. If they want to do what they want to do, go ahead and do it. The truth is going to be out there, regardless. So I just tried to escape from him by ducking into some building, and then he followed
me. And I'm stupid. My instinct was I would have gotten a fight, but you're smart, because by then you knew it was police, and actually they would have then got you claiming you just assaulted an officer, and you know, the 50 cameras on you in the surveilled city of 4.5 million would have all malfunctioned, and then they would have claimed you assaulted an officer.
Yeah, precisely. That's what they were trying to do all along, because they asked my flatmate whether I had any criminal convictions. They were already delving into my background and my past, trying to find out whether I had any kind of dodgy or criminal past or tendencies or convictions. And I think they were trying to use that as a kind of weapon with which they could find me.
It's a lever. That's what spooks and operatives and informants do. We deal with that here locally. Please continue. Well, you know what? I want to bring Steve Watson up. You're just telling so much more now. Steve, thanks for holding. Any other key points you want to bring up here with Daniel?
Well, I was just going to say, why do you think it is that the police didn't ask you to come in and give a statement straight away? But, you know, it was later revealed that they relied on the testimony of people who were at the scene, but, you know, they were either injured or even unconscious in some cases. And also, could you talk about some of the phone calls that you got from, you said you got some phone calls from different police departments across the country.
And you posted those up on your website as well. Yeah, talk about that.
They were from the West Yorkshire Police Constabulary. They were the police constabulary investigating the four alleged bombers. And one of them decided to call me one evening and suggest something which I couldn't make out. I said, hey, you've got the wrong number, guy. But he continued and called the following day, and I recorded it and posted it on the web. It just says that I had a vehicle which was involved with transporting something or other to do with the investigation into the 7/7 bombings. And I think
I tell you what, I forgot to do this. John, will you go to his website and again, Daniel, give my producer at the network your website again. We've got a link to it on InfoWars.
World Wide Web, the fourth bomb is the 4, number 4, TH, bomb.com. bomb.
Yeah, go to thefourthbomb.com, and I know I've listened to that a few days ago. Where specifically is that clip so we can grab that right now and play it?
Yeah, it's if you go to one of the four boxes, I think it's the third box.
You also got audio on the web and video from the police interrogating you. Let's tell that story. Finally, 6 months later, after demanding it, you get there, meeting with them. Tell us about that.
It wasn't as much as I had hoped it would. They just took my details, but what they did was he rushed through it. It took 4 hours, but he rushed through it. It wasn't really as if they were depending on my information and eyewitness account as a vital part of their inquiry, because of course they had already completed their inquiries, or whatever they wanted to say were their inquiries, months ago. So what they did was they waited till they'd worked out their story and then kept me running and then brought me in and just said, hey, okay, what's your story, just so that they could do their paperwork. But that's all it was, just paperwork.
Tell folks about the diagram.
The diagram. Are you talking about which one? Because there's been quite a few. Oh, yeah, the bus diagram, which they asked me to sign. The bus diagram, which they asked me to mark out where the people were sitting on the bus and where the people were standing and what happened on the bus. The diagram was the complete wrong layout for the bus. And I said to the anti-terrorist branch detective who was taking my statement, this is completely incorrect. So by me signing this, that's just going to render everything which I've told you inadmissible. So I think it was just a ploy. They didn't really want my information, as you would understand.
Amazing. Steve, there's a lot of other facets to this. Any other questions you've got for the guests we have?
Yeah, I would also point out that, you know, Daniel had a shirt, which I believe he still has, with, you know, victims' blood on it, which should have been taken for forensic testing, but they weren't even interested in that either. It's as if they've worked out previously, you know, a line to take on this, and they weren't deviating from the line, even though you've got, you know, a first-hand witness here saying this is incorrect. You've got a layout of the bus which is incorrect. I mean, if this doesn't tell us that we need an independent inquiry on this, then what else does?
Daniel Obuchaki.
Okay.
Knowing what you know now, knowing all the evidence concerning government involvement or black ops involvement, intelligence involvement in past attacks and in the 7/7 attack, seeing your bus directed by these shadowy government characters, seeing people on the ground seconds after it happened, the fake bandages, what do you think was really going on there? Who do you think was behind the bombings?
Well, I know who wasn't behind the bomb of the bus, but I couldn't really hazard a guess. It was obviously someone with a lot of power higher up. So, I mean, I've got to live out here, so it's quite obvious who did it, but unless I can actually provide evidence, that's what the website is about, putting the evidence out there so people can decide for themselves.
But who didn't do it? Because you didn't see an Asian, no one else on record said they did.
Yeah, Hafiz Hussein didn't do it. Hafiz Hussein didn't blow up the bus, but hey, who did? So that's what we've got to find out, and that's what we're all working towards. And the truth will out. That's one thing I know. It's going to out. Everything you're doing, everything like-minded individuals are doing, will see to that.
Absolutely. This is just off the charts powerful. And again, it fits with the other witness testimonies, all the other information we have. How do you think individuals who did carry this out can live with themselves just killing innocent Britoners on a bus?
I don't think they really care. They have a role and they have an objective, and their goal is doing that. If it kills people, they say, hey, that's just how it goes. We're saving you from the evil terrorists and all the crazy people in the world who are out to destroy you. So they see their, they probably see their role as helping people, even though they're just killing people.
Yeah, we got to kill a few so they'll accept security to keep them safe.
Exactly.
Totally sick. Steve Watson?
Yeah, I mean, if we do delve into a bit of the evidence, we've got, you know, numerous advance warnings from other intelligence agencies, from French, Spanish, the Saudis, who said, you know, gave an exact time frame for this, and Scotland Yard themselves, who, you know, told the Israeli embassy on the very morning, minutes before, that it was gonna go off, and Benjamin Netanyahu, who was in a hotel on Tavistock Square, which is a point that, you know, is often missed. He was told to stay in the hotel, which, you know, that kind of proves that they had precise location information as well. So we need to, you know, keep working towards outing the truth on this.
Well, we need to put this guy's face up everywhere, and we've got technologies to scan his face, do a composite by reducing to the lines beneath the bandages. I actually know some police sketch artists who can, we can use computer mapping to get this guy's face. This is the type of stuff we'll put a 6 feet under, but what the hell? We got to stop the murderers.
It's here. After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hey ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products and education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big John, Big John, Big Bad John,
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home, he just drifted into town and stayed all alone. Didn't say much, kind of quiet and shy, but if he spoke at all, he just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John.
Big John, Big John, Big Bad John.
Welcome back. I tell you, the courage of our guest, Daniel Obuchicky, the courage of Steve Watson. They're over there in London in one of the biggest police states in the world. I mean, you try to videotape on the street, they come over and tell you to shut it off. They don't allow protesting now. There's secret police everywhere. It is certainly like something out of V for Vendetta. But the good news is more and more is coming out. You know, 80-something percent know they killed Diana now. 80-plus percent know they killed Dr. David Kelly. And everybody knows they're a bunch of criminals. And you're coming down. Your New World Order is going to fail. And your big, fat German commander, Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, just your criminality will be exposed. And that's just the way it is. Daniel and Steve Watson, we've got you for a few minutes here, and then 5 minutes the next, I'm going to let you go. Any other points that need to be made, please make them now. And my final question, why did you go public? When did you go public? Daniel, give us that timeline.
I had to go public. It was the only thing I could do. They were constantly harassing me, and even when I was trying to work and get jobs, they were getting in there and holding me, preventing me from gaining employment, so I had to fight back somehow. And the only way to get back is by making sure what it is they didn't want to be out there was out there. So that's what the book, the forthcoming book, theforcebomb.com, and the website is all about. It's actually something which is helping me as well, helping me get through it.
Now, who's publishing this? Because I saw a little note in your narrative that you exclusively gave us, sections of the book, but you mentioned that the publisher's like, well, let's not get into the guy with the bandages. That's not too important. What do you mean that's not too important? I hope that ends up in the book.
Well, he is referred to in the book, but it doesn't actually enhance the story that much. There is another guy who is in the square that day, an agent, who I'm going to put something on one of the internet sites like Google TV or something like that, which shows you he's actually directing the police and everything. So that's going to...
There's video of this? Tell us who he is.
I can't at the moment. It'll be with you soon. As soon as it's ready, I'll just forward you the link.
What, did you find it off a local TV clip or something? I mean, and you said that's the guy that was directing?
Well, it's going to be on those TV websites where you can download media. I'm going to stick it on one of those so that
I'm just trying to find out where you got the video.
It was actually televised on the British television.
I understand. So that's what I just guessed, is that later you saw the news and said, hey, that's the guy. You've got a clip of it. Buddy, if you're pulling pictures of the other one, you better get that up now and not wait till the book comes out. I'm telling you, Daniel,
I'm not waiting.
You're not stupid. You know how dangerous this is.
Yeah. It's because they just screened it on TV because they thought no one would recognize it. But because I was there, I just jumped and nearly hit the ceiling when I saw that.
And you were able to record it. Oh, this is again...
Yeah.
Again, they're arrogant. Stay there. Final segment, we'll play some clips when we get back of these strange phone calls and things. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with me.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at gcnlive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.